Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking to you about intra-abdominal infections. And if you want to follow along with written notes on this topic, you can follow along at zerotofinals.com/intra-abdominal-infections or in the infectious diseases section of the Zero to Finals medicine book. So let's get straight into it. There's a long list of possible intra-abdominal infections. And these are things like acute diverticulitis, which is infection in one of the outpouchings of the bowel called a diverticula, cholecystitis, which is inflammation around the gallbladder, where there's secondary infection there, ascending cholangitis, where there's infection tracking up through the bile duct and gallbladder, appendicitis, which can be infection in the appendix, spontaneous bacterial peritonitis, which is infection in the peritoneal cavity or the abdominal cavity. And then you can get intra-abdominal abscesses, so a pocket of infection somewhere in the abdomen. What are the common causes of intra-abdominal infections? They're commonly caused by anaerobes, which are bacteria that don't require oxygen. And some examples of anaerobes are Bacteroides and Clostridium. Other causes are E. coli, Klebsiella, Enterococcus, and Streptococcus. When it comes to treating intra-abdominal infections, a broad spectrum of antibiotic cover is required unless you have specific culture results that tell you which antibiotics the bacteria is sensitive to. You need to cover gram-positive, gram-negative, and anaerobic bacteria, as any of these can be the cause of the intra-abdominal infection. Always follow the local guidelines, as these are changed frequently based on the local resistance and the infection control issues in the local area. Let's go through some of the antibiotics that are commonly used for intra-abdominal infections and which bugs they cover. Co-amoxiclav is a combination antibiotic that's based on penicillin, and it provides good gram-positive, gram-negative, and anaerobic cover, but it doesn't cover Pseudomonas or atypical bacteria. Quinolones are things like ciprofloxacin and levofloxacin, and they provide reasonable gram-positive and gram-negative cover and also cover atypical bacteria. However, they don't cover anaerobes, so they're usually paired with metronidazole when they're used to treat intra-abdominal infections. Metronidazole provides exceptional anaerobic cover, but it doesn't cover against gram-positive or gram-negative aerobic bacteria. Gentamicin provides very good gram-negative cover with some gram-positive cover, particularly against Staphylococcus. And the other benefit to gentamicin is that it's bactericidal, so it works to kill the bacteria rather than just slowing them down. Vancomycin provides very good gram-positive cover, including MRSA. It's often combined with gentamicin so that it covers gram-positive with the vancomycin and gram-negative with the gentamicin, and it's also paired with metronidazole to cover the anaerobes in patients with penicillin allergy. So with vancomycin, you get gram-positive, gentamicin, you get gram-negative, and metronidazole, you get the anaerobes. Cephalosporins, such as ceftriaxone or cefuroxime, provide good broad-spectrum cover against gram-positive and gram-negative bacteria. However, they're not so effective against anaerobes. These are often avoided due to the risk of developing C. diff infections. Tazacin and metronidazole are other heavy-hitting antibiotics that cover gram-positive, gram-negative, and anaerobic bacteria. So these are really the big-hitting antibiotics. They don't cover atypical bacteria or MRSA, and tazacin doesn't cover ESBLs or extended-spectrum beta-lactamases. But they cover almost everything else, and they're usually reserved for very unwell patients or people with neutropenic sepsis or those that don't respond to other antibiotics. So some common regimes that you might find for intra-abdominal infections. Often co-amoxiclav is used alone because it covers almost everything. Amoxicillin plus gentamicin plus metronidazole is a common combination. Ciprofloxacin plus metronidazole is a common combination that's used in patients with penicillin allergy. Another common combination in penicillin allergy is vancomycin plus gentamicin plus metronidazole. And you can see in all of these combinations, the idea is to cover gram-positive, gram-negative, and anaerobes. Antibiotics can be given orally when there's an oral version available, for example in mild diverticulitis, or intravenous in more serious infections. A stat dose of gentamicin is often added to regimes that don't include gentamicin if the patient is severely septic, and this is to provide an initial strong bactericidal gram-negative action and try and get on top of those gram-negative bacteria very quickly. Finally, we'll talk about spontaneous bacterial peritonitis. And this is a very serious infection that occurs most commonly in patients with liver failure, where they've developed ascites. And it's essentially infection in those ascites. Often the first line choice of antibiotics is piperacillin and tazobactam, or tazocin. An alternative to tazocin is cephalosporins, such as cefotaxime. And a common alternative in patients with penicillin allergy is to use levofloxacin plus metronidazole. Thanks for listening to this episode on intra-abdominal infections. I hope you found it helpful. And if you want to find written notes on all of these podcast episodes, head over to Amazon and pick up a copy of the Zero to Finals Medicine book. It's got detailed and concise notes on over 160 topics through 10 specialties in medicine, and it's designed specifically from scratch to contain the key facts and guidelines you need to pass your medical exams. If you don't fancy spending any money, you can find everything on the Zero to Finals website at zerotofinals.com, including notes, videos, illustrations, questions, and a blog. And if nothing else, I hope to see you in the next episode, which is on septic arthritis.